Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Our guest on today's Edgewise is John Beeson, the principal of Beeson Consulting, a management consulting firm specializing in succession planning and top talent development, executive assessment, and executive coaching and organization design and change. He's written numerous articles on succession planning and talent development, and they've appeared in the Harvard Business Review, Across the Board, and Business Horizons. He's author of the new book, The Unwritten Rules, The Six Skills You Will Need to Get Promoted to the Executive Level. Welcome to Edgewise, John.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, let's go right to the heart of the matter. What does a manager who aspires to the C-suite need to know that is not obvious or intuitive?
Aspiring executives, managers who would like to get to the C-suite level, operate under two misconceptions that really hold them back. One is the belief that strong results in your current job are necessarily going to get you promoted, that that's sufficient. A consistent record of results gets you considered as a candidate, but rarely is it the differentiator when people make those promotional decisions. The second misconception is people assuming that their manager is going to give them the feedback they need to advance in the course of their annual performance review. If you think about it, a performance review, by definition, focuses on improving the manager's performance in his or her current job. It's not future-oriented. The manager who is doing the performance review may not know what senior people in your organization are looking for when they fill executive-level jobs. What are those factors that are needed to get ahead? And very often, your manager doesn't know how you are seen by those senior-level decision-makers in terms of the selection factors they're going to use to make those promotional decisions. For all of those reasons, you are unlikely to get the feedback that really counts. That's why I believe that the individual has to take control, has got to initiate the conversations to get that kind of feedback.
That's true, unfortunately. And I'm just not sure that they are interested in helping you to advance.
Some bosses are better at developing your career. Some bosses are more interested in your advancement than others. But most of them are interested in having you maximize your performance in your current job. It helps them get ahead by strong performance.
Exactly. I think you're absolutely right. Now, was there a special insight that prompted you to write this book?
The book is the result of two overall observations that I've made over the years that, to me, represent a serious disconnect in most of the organizations that I work with. Virtually every company I work with bemoans the dearth of leadership talent. And by the way, I think this is a phenomenon that is poised to get worse as the economy strengthens, as executive positions start opening up again. So on one hand, you have companies that are concerned about future leadership talent. By contrast, I see many talented and hardworking managers who are in the dark about what they need to do to advance in their career. That disconnect serves neither the interests of the aspiring executive or those companies that want to fill these executive positions.
Right.
What I wanted to do in the book was equip the aspiring executive to take greater control of his or her career and really position themselves to be first off the bench. Because as the economy strengthens, as these baby boom executives retire, there are going to be many positions. So I believe that managers can take the steps now to position themselves for those promotional opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
However, promotions don't just happen. You can't make a promotion. You can't will a promotion. But by knowing these factors that senior executives use, by knowing how senior executives perceive you, you're in a position to both develop and, importantly, to display those capabilities because that breeds confidence and makes you first off the bench.
In the book, you highlight six key skill areas. Can you talk a little bit about those?
The skills that I highlight relate to five fundamental tasks of executive leadership, things like setting direction for the organization, leading innovation and change, and also one factor, executive presence, that is an important preview of your ability to succeed at the executive level. The skills that I think are critical are really a combination of a leader's skills and experience on one hand and how they devote their time and attention as a leader.
How did you identify these six skills?
In the course of my career, I've had a chance to both assess and coach scores of executives, and I've sat in on numerous executive placement and promotional decisions. As I thought about the dialogue in those conversations, the reasons that people did get promoted or didn't, I realized there's a relatively limited number of factors that in most companies do make the difference about who gets promoted and who doesn't. that helped me in writing the book sort out the must-have skills and capabilities versus the nice-to-haves.
So could you expand on that, please?
Two examples: strategic thinking, the ability to think strategically, create a sense of direction for the organization, and working across organizational boundaries with peers to get things done. They require a breadth of perspective about the industry and the organization, as well as some important skills that a leader needs to develop.
Right.
Those have profound implications for aspiring managers in terms of how they take control of their careers.
But how can you work across organizational boundaries and demonstrate a collegial attitude, especially if you work in an organization with strong organizational silos?
In today's organizations, to get things done, to get change implemented, you're going to have to work across those boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts off with being collaborative, but it also quickly picks up your ability to influence and persuade other people. It also picks up your knowledge of the organization, how it operates, how decisions get made, so you can be positively impactful as you work with your peers in the interest of getting things done, because so many things are going to impact different parts of the organization.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You mentioned six skill areas. Is there any specific order to them?
First skill that I highlight is strategic thinking. And I started with that because the ability to establish a sense of direction for a group and get people to follow that is the bedrock of leadership from time immemorial.
And what are some of the goals for that?
The starting point is understanding what senior executives are looking for in the strategy area. What are the indicators of the ability to shape strategy, to set direction? On one hand, they're looking for the manager's ability to establish a consistent set of priorities, as opposed to chasing the priority du jour, as some leaders do. Clearly, they're looking for people who can think big picture, think in a long-term way, as opposed to exclusively focusing on short-term results. Beyond that, though, they're looking for leaders who have that rare ability to anticipate marketplace trends, see where the marketplace is going, and through that anticipation, generate the strategic insight that can lead the organization. They're also looking for the person who's got the ability to take that strategic insight, turn that into a vision, and communicate that to people in the organization in a way that inspires them and motivates the organization to act. Those are the things that people need to demonstrate that build confidence in those senior level decision makers that they've got the ability to operate at that level.
Sometimes individuals have responsibilities that don't get them into the strategy arena. What advice can you offer them?
You may need to move into a new assignment which allows you to do that. If you're in a very operational job, your mandate is to execute your boss's strategy, that may not be the opportunity.
Right. So,
however, I would start by saying, are there opportunities in my current job to demonstrate this strategic ability? An example would be going to your boss and saying, hey, we haven't updated our strategy within the department. Could I lead an initiative with my peers that would allow me to do that? Sometimes you can find those opportunities in your current job, but sometimes you've got to orchestrate a move into a new assignment that allows you to do that.
Interesting.
I also stress the importance of building a strong management team, because the success of the executive is largely dependent upon his or her ability to surround himself or herself with talent. A strong team is one that not only performs, helps you accomplish your objectives, but also allows you as a leader to focus on those activities where you should be adding value and where you can add value.
Sure.
If you're going to free up the time for strategic thinking, if you're going to free up the time to work with peers across the organization, you've got to feel confident in your team. And in some cases, the strong team will also allow you to compensate for certain areas which don't play to your strengths.
Then how do you suggest that an aspiring executive go about building a strong management team?
A good starting point for any executive in thinking about the strength of their management team is thinking through how they need to spend their time and what are the issues where they need to focus to add the greatest value. That's an important starting point, because based on that, you can begin to evaluate the needs within your team. Virtually every manager I work with espouses the value of building a strong management team. The differentiator is the steps they take to build that team. For example, some managers will talk immediately about team building, getting the people together, clarifying roles and responsibility, getting a sense of team cohesion. Those are all useful things for a leader to do. At more senior levels, though, a successful leader is the person who starts with the talent part of that equation. They devote the majority of their focus to bringing on the talented people around them that collectively form a strong management team.
Right.
What I've observed is that leaders who are successful in building a strong leadership team from a talent point of view are like coaches of a sports team. They want their team to win this year to accomplish their goals, their objectives, but they've also got a plan to upgrade the talent of their team.
Mm-hmm.
They're constantly looking for talent. They're anticipating openings because their goal is to make the team stronger every year.
All right. Now, let's take a look at managing implementation. How do the requirements for ensuring execution change as someone moves up in the organization?
As you move up in the organization, there's one thing that never changes, and that's the requirement that you manage execution and that you and your team produce predictable results. What does change, however, is how you ensure predictable results without getting dragged down to too low a level of detail. As people advance, they need to become very skilled in putting in place an infrastructure of implementation, not making every decision, not micromanaging every activity, but putting in place the roles, the processes, the follow-up mechanisms within their organization that focus their team on the timely implementation of priorities without having to micromanage too many things.
And then there's the capacity for innovation and change.
Given the pace of change in virtually any industry today, executives are challenged to do two things simultaneously. They need to execute on today's priorities, and they need to work with their teams to find the innovations that are going to generate the quantum leap in performance. Senior decision makers are looking for the manager's ability to lead innovation within the group, to find that next big idea, and then work with his or her team to introduce it. And that obviously gets into the whole area of change management. But in addition to just leading innovation, that gets into the whole area of your willingness to take prudent risks. Because innovation, as we know, entails risk. It also demands that you have that ability to push your organization out of its comfort zone in the interest of change. Some leaders are more comfortable doing that than others, but that's a differentiator in this arena.
And so how would you create an environment that fosters innovation and creative thinking?
In addition to focusing your organization on executing its priorities today, it's important to get your team thinking collectively about breakthrough approaches for the future.
And how do you do that?
You've got to get yourself and your team focused externally, on your customers, on the marketplace, even companies in other industries that might be the source of that innovative idea. Because in all likelihood, the next big idea, the source of the next major innovation, is going to be found outside of your organization.
Right.
Some of it is working to carve out time for yourself and your team for some blue sky thinking, asking lots of what if questions, challenging conventional wisdom, and also at the same time, being aware of a potential tendency to shoot down every new idea that emerges too soon. Because innovation demands some play, taking an idea, shaping an idea, and perhaps coming up with something that could really work. That gets into some of the leadership behaviors. Leaders in innovative organizations spend a lot of time brainstorming, experimenting, and then learning from those experiments. And that's something that I recommend that a manager embed into his or her leadership style.
Absolutely. Now, I have a question for you. How do you define the quality of executive presence?
In my definition, at its core, executive presence is being able to breed confidence in those you work with that you can succeed at the executive level. Taking control of difficult, even unpredictable situations, having a willingness to step up and make tough decisions in a timely way, and being a member of the executive team, getting into the mix with other talented and strong-willed members of the executive team.
And how can you project executive presence?
You project, even on a visceral level, that you have that ability to do those things at the executive level. Because a lot of people say executive presence, so you're talking about my suit, my haircut, and that may be part of it.
Yeah.
If that's out of kilter with the executives, that can get in your way. But the common denominator is that self-confidence. It's interesting in different corporate cultures how that gets projected. Sometimes it is the ability to make a presentation, the ability to stand up in front of a group, especially a senior management group, and articulate your points succinctly with poise, not getting cowed. But again, the key thing there is to breed that confidence that you can handle what it takes to be successful working with other executives.
What kind of career dilemmas might you encounter, and what would you do to overcome them?
Clearly, there are a lot of career dilemmas or challenges that an aspiring leader can run into. One is dealing with a bad boss, or at least a bad boss for you. At some point in your career, you're going to have a bad boss. And I've seen people really struggle with that.
So how do you deal with that problem?
The starting point is understanding who your boss is, what their objectives are, and basically, within ethical boundaries, obviously, give your boss what he or she needs to be successful. Typically, that gets a bad boss off your back and can make the boss a huge proponent so that you can continue to advance in your career.
Right.
A second career dilemma that I see, especially high potential future leaders facing, is the decision about whether to take a promotion or a lateral move into another part of the organization, maybe another function, which might actually benefit them in the long term. And those aren't easy decisions. The promotion, as you can imagine, is very appealing, getting to the next level, whatever perks go with that. But I've seen managers in a lot of organizations go straight up a silo, a functional chute, and at the end of their career, they find that they are overly narrow. They lack that breadth of perspective. So it's important to think through where they want to go, and is there a lateral move that would increase their perspective, increase their range of skills, broaden their network and visibility within the company? Because occasionally that can be very useful from a career point of view.
Let's assume somebody has been very successful in their organization. How can they help those who report to them?
As I deal with executives who'd like to move forward in the organization, what I continually hear is that they want feedback that really counts. They want to know what it takes to move forward, and they also want to know how they are currently perceived by more senior level decision makers, because that allows them to exercise initiative to develop new skills and display them. So the one thing I suggest to a leader who has been successful is, if you have gotten that kind of feedback, that kind of help, give it to your direct reports. Help them understand what it's going to take to get to the next level. Help them in a constructive way know what they have demonstrated that breeds confidence in senior level decision makers, but also let them know what they need to demonstrate. Help them get into the positions that allow them not only to build those skills, but to display those capabilities.
We've been speaking to John Beeson, author of the new book, The Unwritten Rules, The 6 Skills You Will Need to Get Promoted to the Executive Level. Thanks, John.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Are you responsible for creating online content that connects with customers? AMA's new hands-on writing program offers skills, tools, and professional instructor feedback to help you improve your online content and bottom-line results. For more information, visit amanet.org and type 2182 into the search box.
Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.